Good morning. It's Wednesday, 16th of December. Our middle reading today is Zephaniah chapter 2. I'm going to read to you from Brother Fred Pierce's book, once again, his studies in the Minor Prophets. These are Brother Pierce's concluding reflections. As in other prophets, the people of God are reminded that if his judgments were to be poured out upon the nations, as Judah expected, how much more upon them because of their privilege and their dishonouring of the name of Yahweh? The implication of chapter 3 verse 7 is very instructive, however, for the understanding of God as judge. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. The judgments of God were therefore intended as instruction, not of course in the mere sense of information, but rather of correction. God chastised them in measure in order that he might not have to chastise them utterly. It was a correction that Israel would not receive. In the end, their condition permitted of no remedy, and their dwelling place had to be cut off. The redemption of the residue of Israel will mean the submission of the nations generally to the God of Israel. But chapter 3 verse 9 adds, for then will I turn to the peoples a purified lip, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. This is no longer mere subjection, but reconciliation. The purified lip speaks of the acceptable nature of their praise to Yahweh. Their calling upon him suggests a conscious and deliberate service rendered with one shoulder, with no desire to depart from him in search of other gods. We have met this aspect before, in Micah, for example, and it is noticeable that while the earlier of the prophets, for example Joel and Obadiah, have little trace of it, it occupies a distinct place in the later ones. Israel, the privileged nation, were being educated to receive it. How slow and unwilling their reception of it was is shown by the attitude of the Jews in the days of the Apostle Paul, but it is easy to see why the Apostle saw evidence of the call of the Gentiles in the Old Testament prophecies. Zephaniah too has his conception of the spiritual worship God required. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. That's chapter 2, verse 3. A verse which expresses all the spirit of the prophet. The acceptable of the earth are the humble ones, in contrast with the proud, corrupt, violent and utterly materialistic minded majority. For they, in seeking to do the will of God, are not ashamed or afraid to seek meekness, trusting in his mercy that they will be hid as treasure in the day of his wrath. Their confidence is based on the conviction that the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. We have a note here, rather like that of Hosea. God feels. He is not just the impassive spectator or mere manipulator of human puppets. Who can doubt that his love for the humble remnant is real and profound? Who can doubt that to be able to save them, in harmony with his own righteousness, is for him a matter of rejoicing, or even of exultation? And who can doubt that the same principles still apply for the benefit of those who seek meekness and wait for the God who is their salvation? Thank you for listening.